This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shack, and I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, welcome one and all to No Bad Ideas, where the badness and the ideas come together. It's the only place, really, only here do you find bad ideas in 2023. If you have been looking for them, this is where they all hang out. We collect them, we bring them together, and then we give ourselves just 10 very short minutes to try to turn them into the loose pitch outline for like a good movie or a good TV show or a good rock opera concept album or something. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, you know, severe back pain. So in the right mental space to catalytically convert badness into goodness.
That's the one. That's the stuff. Before we jump in, though, a very quick announcement. If all has gone according to plan, you are all listening to this on your day off for Memorial Day. And we are going to be taking a little bit of time off for this show.
Not just Memorial Day.
Yeah. We're going to be taking the month of June off, to be precise. Not to relax and lay on the beach sipping cocktails out of coconuts, as perhaps we might want to be with the start of the summer, but because we are a little tiny bit drowning in work. And it's good work, and it's exciting work, and it's work that we are very, very amped to tell you about really soon, but we can't just yet. But we kind of need it to be like not just our main focus, but like our whole goddamn ass focus for the month of June. So we're gonna be taking a little bit of time off. When are we coming back, guys? When's our like workcation over?
You know, it'd be fun to go from holiday to holiday, right? So what's a good holiday that comes after June?
Give me a second of freedom to think about that, Sarah. to emancipate myself from the forces of not knowing what you're getting at.
We're gonna come back on the 4th of July.
Happy birthday, America.
America, fuck yeah.
America and other bad ideas on the 4th of July.
That's exactly it. That's right. So yeah, so look forward to that. We're gonna be taking a very short break, but we promise there'll be more bad ideas right around the corner, and there'll be more stuff from us hitting your ears really soon, we promise. But before we do that, we have two bad ideas for you today.
That's right.
To leave you on a high note, on a low note, I don't know what kind of note it is, but we're gonna leave you there. I have the first one. So guys, strap in. We are visiting with a superhero, not Florida Man, but his eccentric cousin, Colorado Man.
Mm. Fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for anybody that wants to read along with the bad idea, it is going to be in a link in the episode description for this episode. So from the AP, the very ridiculous headline reads, Colorado Man tries to trade places with dog to avoid DUI arrest.
Wow. We really need to fix those public schools.
Oh my God. Hanging the best buds out to dry.
So the article reads, a driver who was pulled over for speeding tried to switch places with his dog to avoid arrest, police in Colorado said. An officer watched him maneuvering inside the car before he got out on the passenger side on Saturday night in Springfield, a town of about 1,300 people on the state's eastern plains, police said in a Facebook post on Sunday. The man said he was not behind the wheel and clearly showed signs of being drunk, police said. He ran from the officers when asked how much he had to drink and was caught within about 20 yards, police said. After being taken to the hospital to be checked out, the man was arrested on suspicion of charges, including driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs and driving while ability impaired, as well as for previous warrants for his arrest. Presumably, he had left some loyal hounds behind him on previous occasions when avoiding the law. That's it. That's the article. It is like really the headline says it all. But I just love that image of, oh, shit, the police are pulling me over. What could I do to get out of the situation? No, you see, officer, it was my Doberman that was driving.
It's flawless geometric logic, if nothing else.
Sure.
Of like the person of responsibilities in the driver's seat. If I put someone else in the driver's seat, therefore.
QED, right?
Right. So, you know, props for that. For nothing else.
I'm starting a 10-minute timer and let's see what props we can get this man and his dog.
I mean, a body swap? Question mark?
That's not a bad take. I mean, I was going to say, if we're doing sort of an animated situation where dogs can talk.
Sure.
Then, you know, we have a different kettle of fish on our hands. I mean, just throwing man's best friend under the bus.
The most diabolical thing you can do. They're good boys and girls.
Bad karma, if I ever heard it.
There is no such thing as bad dog.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm very down for an animated film where dogs can talk. Is it a universe where only this dog can talk and is perhaps like a devil on the, I mean, it would be interesting to play with the notion of a bad dog, of like a dog that encourages kind of bad behavior, but for to get the protagonist out of a rut or like to get them to get the girl or, you know, whatever they need to do. Or is this a universe where all dogs can talk and this is just one incident in a buddy comedy?
So just to kind of regurgitate the options back to you, just to make sure that I'm following them correctly.
Sure.
So either like option one, man comes across from a dog. It is a dog that can talk. Perhaps the dog can only talk to him. Perhaps the dog can just talk. But this dog keeps giving him what we would call like sort of shoulder devil advice. Like, you know, like the dog keeps being like, come on, it's been a long day. Go ahead and crack that six pack. You're not going to get pulled over. You deserve a drink. Come on. You're going to be stuck in this traffic jam and the beer's getting warm. Come on. You know, you wanna. Or option B is just kind of like a more like in this world, everyone has their animal dog companion, but is able to kind of talk to them in English.
Right. Sort of.
Or language of choice.
Here, David Zaslav, have his Dark Materials plus BoJack Horseman.
Wow. Wow.
I don't want that. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Let's kill God, but also in the world of BoJack Horseman, that is way too much staring into the existential abyss.
Yeah, that's way too existential, even for us. But we could, but it doesn't have to like be that existential or that extreme. I think either of those options that you laid out would be workable. What do you think, Zach?
I will also step back away from the abyss, and I think the question that comes to my mind when we think about the devil on the shoulder dog is maybe to think through that character a little more and just like what would be this bad dog's motivation. Like
for doing all these bad dog things.
Yeah. Like, was this dog like a rescue from a bad home? But we find out that like, it's just like, is it just a bad dog?
Look, the dog just wants to party, man. Like the dog just wants you to stop being a fucking square and just chug that beer so that we can party, bro.
What was that show? Something Number of Good Deeds, Andy McDowell? Was that?
Yeah.
What?
No, it was like 100 Good Deeds for
Andy McDowell. Yeah.
Not Andy McDowell. That's an actress.
Okay, shit.
But I think it was
familiar with the show.
Eddie,
yeah. The premise was
Eddie McDowell.
Yeah.
Okay. 100 Deeds. Yeah.
So the premise is that this guy was kind of an asshole. And so some mystical force of the universe transforms him into a dog.
Yes.
Whoa. In the form of which he must perform 100 some odd good deeds.
Good deeds. Yeah. Before he can be a human again.
Exactly.
Wow.
This is some deep cut millennial Nickelodeon for you, everybody.
Showing my age.
1999.
I don't know that this one trickled down to Costa Rica. I have never even heard of this guy.
I think this was the first show that I saw Seth Green in.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, it's really early. It's funny. But yeah, it could be an Eddie McDowd situation.
It's like either like the gritty reboot of that property, Call Us, rights holders, or the like nega version of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested in the nega version of it where someone who is like an overworked perfectionist suddenly gets turns into a dog.
Sure.
And realizes the freedom of not having to give a fuck about things that really aren't mad, really don't matter.
Of YOLOing.
Yeah.
The liberating freedom of not giving a fuck.
Yeah. The ultimate, someone like wishes for a solution to burnout and they get turned into a dog.
Just fucking lay on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that would have to be like the way that you would do it, where it's kind of a like they would try to find a way to kind of can like I call into the office or like can I like teach myself to type with my paws so that I can finish that report. And it's like, no, my guy, lie in the grass for 8 hours and don't move.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that life
you
is
need
over.
To do that. Yeah. Yeah.
And thus begins his National Lampoon-esque romp, just like like shotgunning beers like a dog.
I guess
like dogs do. I don't know. I mean, and eventually I feel like this person has to find the line.
Walk like a dog, drink like a fish. I don't know.
Where,
oh man,
where, you know, like you're forcing fun.
Oh, you mean like the time that the dog gets into the accident with his buddy that he convinced, and then while the buddy is passed out, he switches him to the driver's seat.
Yeah, yeah, and like goes to a really dark place, I guess.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, okay, there has to be like some lesson about balance that happens after this dog has a bunch of fun.
Sure. And I just like, I want to make sure that I'm following the intricate lore of this event, of this dog, of this shaggy dog story that we're putting together.
Yeah. I mean, you can call it a shaggy dog story. It's fucking
so
great.
So my understanding so far is that we have a man. He's like very type A driven, like, you know, just kind of like work ethic around the clock. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But, you know, he's totally burnt out. And one day he just kind of like idly says, I wish that I could find a way to like not have my life revolve around work. And a eccentric fairy just happens to be walking by his window at the time, I guess.
Well, I mean, we can have a set piece where like he goes to a carnival and like one of those like creepy machines that gives you your fortune, right?
Like the Zoltan machines or whatever.
And it's like, you know, speak your deepest wish and you'll get a fortune. And he can't enjoy himself even when he's at the carnival. And so he's like,
right, no, he's trying to get on the phone because, you know, the bank's just opened in Tokyo. And so he needs to get that trade in as quickly as possible.
That's right. That's right. He cannot have fun with his kid, brother or sister or whoever he's there with.
Whoever. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. And so he wishes idly that he for a solution to his burnout, he wishes he didn't have to worry about work. And then he's turned into a dog, as happens at carnivals all the time.
All over America. Yes. Famously so.
Yeah.
Okay, and so he's turned into a dog, and is there some guidance as to like what he needs to do to get turned back into a human, or it's just kind of like, you're a dog now, figure the fuck out?
I mean, there's a fortune, right?
Sure. So like Jumanji style, like you're going to be a dog until the dice roll 5 or 8 or whatever. Sure,
exactly,
I get it. Okay,
exactly.
I see. Well, this answers all my questions.
Right,
now
I think
the lore
it's
airtight. Crystal clear.
The scientific accuracy.
So it's a good thing that everything is so clear because there's 30 seconds on the clock. I'm just so curious. Is this a movie where he eventually turns back into a human or where he just like stays as a dog enjoying his new pampered, much shorter in all likelihood life?
I think there's an emergency where he has to turn back into a human, right?
Yeah.
But then like he gets a rescue dog.
Sure.
Adopt on shop.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That is time.
Wow. Colorado man.
Colorado. What a hero. I also love just like the detail of like him trying to run away and not making it more than 20 yards.
Yeah.
What a star.
Truly giving Florida man a run for his money.
Oh, yeah.
But only for 20 yards.
Yeah. Not much of a run.
Well, we're going to go drink some water out of our bowl and give ourselves a Scooby snack. But when we come back, we're going to jump on into the next bad idea.
Hey there, Zach Valenti here with a quick reminder that if you love No Bad Ideas or any of the podcasts Gabrielle, Sarah, and I create, you can support us with a monthly membership at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to the No Bad Ideas back catalog and hear every bad idea we've ever done. And as an Idealist member, you could even snag a special shout out in the credits. You can learn more and sign up today at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. All right, and with that, let's get back to the show. Ah, that was a delicious Scooby snack. I am delighted to keep a theme going with Arizona Man from friend of the show Here Kim Procise via the New York Times. Arizona Man is accused of faking own kidnapping to evade work.
Wow.
So a theme of like the many men avoiding responsibilities and consequences for their actions.
Exactly, exactly.
Seems to be what we're doing today.
And like the other white meat alternative to Florida Man. We're going to get all 50 states by the end of this series.
We should tally up, not us, someone should tally up if we've hit every state yet. We got to make
the
sure
that... / No Bad Ideas subreddit.
That's right. That.
But yeah, I have no idea if we've ever done like Rhode Island Man.
No, I know we've done New Hampshire.
Yeah, some of them are going to be difficult.
Anyway.
Yeah, some states definitely seem more, generate more stories than others, shall we?
Or at least their courtroom documents are more accessible.
Yeah. But all right, let's see what this man did.
Mm-hmm.
The authorities in Arizona accused a man of going to extreme lengths to get out of work this month, saying he faked his own kidnapping, bound his own wrist, gagged himself, and invented a story of treasure hidden in the desert.
What?
That's right.
My God, that sounds like so much work.
The man, Brandon Sulis, was arrested last week on a charge of false reporting to law enforcement. The police in Coolidge, Arizona said in a statement that outlined a scheme they believed was intended to get Mr. Sulis excused from his job at a tire store. In the statement, the police said that Mr. Sulis, 19, admitted during an interview with detectives that he had made up the kidnapping story, which led to his arrest. He was booked at the Coolidge Police Department and released with a court date. Mr. Sulis did not immediately respond to a message on Tuesday, and it was not clear whether he had a lawyer.
Yes, those very common ambiguous lawyer situations that we're all so familiar with.
I mean, I feel like 19, thinking that all this work would be worth getting out of your tire store job. Like, this sounds like somebody capable of representing himself.
Sure, yes.
By capable, I mean inclined.
Right, capable of making the decision that representing himself would be a good idea.
Yes.
The police arrested Mr. Sulis on February 17th after a week of investigation led them to treat his case as a hoax, the news site Pinal Central reported that day. The police were first called at about 5:25 p.m. on February 10th when officers responded to a report about an injured man in the area near train tracks, houses, and a city water tower in Coolidge, a city of about 13,000 people, about 55 miles outside Phoenix. The caller reported that the man was going in and out of consciousness. When the officers arrived, they found a man, later identified as Mr. Sulis, with his hands bound behind his back by a belt and a purple bandana stuffed in his mouth, according to the police. A photo from the police department showed the man with his hands tied while lying on his side on the ground.
Mr. Sulis told officers that after completing an errand that morning, he returned to his home where two masked men abducted him near his vehicle, struck him in the back of his head, and knocked him unconscious, according to the arrest report. The men, according to Mr. Sulis, drove him around in a vehicle before they left him in the area where he was found, the police said. Mr. Sulis was taken to a hospital where he was evaluated and interviewed by the police. According to the department, he told investigators that he had been kidnapped because his father had a large amount of money hidden throughout the desert.
Okay, this was my question. How did the hidden gold come into this? Sure.
Because he needed motive, right? Because like, why else would these two run? Right. you gotta sell it.
totally. Okay, that clears that up. Okay, so these two goons discovered that he clearly knew maybe the location of the hidden gold, and therefore they kidnapped him. Exactly. I see.
Look, this is the start of an episode of Poker Face. That's not how it ends.
For days, detectives tried to investigate his account, including by reviewing surveillance video of the area and interviewing people he mentioned.
Oh my God.
Hospital records showed that Mr. Sulis had no concussion or injury to his head, a police report said, and text messages reviewed by the detective did not show messages or phone calls that had been described. Eventually, after repeatedly confronting Mr. Sulis with problems in his account, the detectives concluded that, quote, his story was fabricated and no kidnapping or assault occurred, the police said. They also determined that the account of hidden treasure was false. Mr. Sulis worked at a car shop, the tire factory, where he installed tires and drove around the area to pick up parts for the store, the police said. A manager for the store declined to comment on the arrest on Tuesday, and according to Mr. Sulis's Facebook profile, he no longer works there.
Oh, poor guy.
And with that, I give you 10 minutes to make something of this one and only Arizona man.
I have a thought.
This is a work of art. Yeah, this is my first thought. But yeah, Sarah, go ahead.
So I really want, like, this isn't part of what actually happened, but I'm so intrigued by the notion of like two detectives who are like trapped out in the Arizona desert looking into this 19-year-old story of hidden gold. And we just have like a Pinterest play between the two of them and their evolving relationship as they like get hotter and hotter looking for this non-existing gold. That's my thought of just like ignore the kid, focus on some cops bickering at each other in the Arizona sun. That amuses me. What are your thoughts, Gabrielle?
I mean, that's not uninteresting to me. Like, I feel that is one of those no bad ideas pitches where unfortunately it's a little bit of like, yeah, and that's the thing. It's a stage play. It lasts 2 hours. It is, you know, Beckett-esque in its miserableness.
Mark Strong and Cate Blanchett, what are you doing?
Yeah, bam. Like, you know, now that you have done the casting, there's kind of like nothing else to do. That bird is entirely cooked now.
Yeah, you just have to write it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't eat up our 10 minutes, unfortunately. You're right.
Yeah, but I mean, like put that aside. It's just kind of like, all right, that's one completed great way to deal with this. You can just call it Fool's Gold and
oh
bam.
My God,
you're
done. That's
great. My God. Guys, we could shoot this with no budget. We just need a couple of fucking cop outfits and a desert.
Not even cop outfits. They're detectives. So just like disheveled suits.
Amazing. Yeah. Just like trench coats or whatever.
We just need a carton of cigarettes and a camera, really.
Just go full John Huston.
Well, the only downside is we wouldn't get the scene of this man watching not one, but many YouTube videos on how to bind and gag yourself.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That search history must be wild.
Yeah, seriously. Where my brain latches onto it is, okay, like, it was done poorly, but, like, this kidnapping was a ton of work. You know, like, prep time, like, the physical ordeal of it. Like, it was an amount of labor to do this.
Right.
And so I'm a little bit like, what was happening at your work the day that you set this plan in motion that was worth this amount of work?
Or what was outside of work that this made any sense as your cover story?
Yeah. Right. Because I don't buy laziness as a prime motivator. Like, I don't buy simply...
Not with this kind of hustle.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It does not compute in my brain of just, I wanted to not come into work on Thursday, and therefore I planned and set up an elaborate story of hidden gold in the desert and kidnapped myself in order to not have to go to work on Thursday.
Yeah.
And so I asked the question of, what was happening on that Thursday? Was Thursday the day that, like, the boss's insufferable 12-year-old daughter was going to come in? And the guy just knew that, like, every time that this girl came in, she had totally unreasonable requests that he had to wait on hand and foot or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, was it the day that, like, the boss was, like, as a promo, we're shaving everyone's heads. And so, you know, like, as a show of solidarity, everyone that works here has to, like, shave their heads or something.
On Thursday, the St. Baldrick's people are coming to shave all of your heads.
Right. What was happening that was going on to, like, to make this man go to these extreme lengths? And then, like, the way that you turn it into kind of like a vignette movie is, what are the other employees trying to do to get out of,
right,
to get out of going to work that day? I guess it's a little bit of a, like, rat race, like, mosaic, where you begin with all these people at work and they find out tomorrow X is happening, and then you follow what each one of them is doing to try to get off,
right,
work.
And so it becomes like this escalation game where the more ridiculous an excuse, the more likely they are to be excused. And so, like, there's sort of a sense of someone's gonna have to come in and work in the garage,
yeah,
on Thursday, but it's not gonna be me.
And I'm realizing too that, like, for any of this to make any sense, yeah, all right, I'm getting ambitious if I want this to make sense. For any of this to make sense, it actually has to be like a fucking sweet job every other day of the year.
Right.
And it's just this one day that is insufferable. Because if it was bad enough and it was a shit job, you just quit.
Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
just like no call, no show, and are just like, whatever, I'll get a job at McDonald's or something.
Here's a pitch. We're in Arizona, right? The last one was Colorado.
Yeah.
We're in Arizona and it's like sort of an off-grid place. Like, this is like tire shop in the middle of nowhere. They don't have a septic tank. They basically run their like their only bathroom on a black tank, like what you have in an RV.
Uh-huh.
And it was Black Tank Day, where the most junior there employee has to take 3 months worth of human waste to a facility,
yes,
and like use that awful cable. And like, they got to do
that's the one.
It's a dirty day.
That's it. But the rest of the time, it's like, you know, the pay is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the boss doesn't ask you to do that much work. They let you fuck around.
$19.75 an hour goes a long way in that part of Arizona.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Zach, that's awesome.
Yeah. No,
and so there's like four or so guys that are like in the middle of the totem pole. And they're like, well, not a problem anymore. Like, little Billy is the most junior person. It's his problem.
Yeah.
And then it's like they get the news the day before. Oh, little Billy, you know, like, well, no, we're like, well, he might have a legitimate reason.
Okay.
Like, he might sort of have like broken his leg or something. And so it's like, well, he's not coming in.
He broke his own
so
leg.
So now it's going to be one of the four of you guys.
It's just like a pain Olympics to get the fuck out of dealing with the shit.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That's what I mean. It's not the title, but the tagline is, they're not dealing with this shit.
Yeah, hey, that's great.
Oh my God. Johnny Knoxville has been waiting for this.
That's true.
Yes,
honestly.
Yes, he fucking has.
He do a great job of playing the boss now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, and at a certain point, it kind of becomes like a matter of pride. It becomes a matter of like, you know, what I'm putting myself through is unambiguously worse than dealing with the black tank, but I'll be hanged if I let Sally get the best of me and outmaneuver me in trying to get out of this shitty job.
Right.
Which could also be a good title for the movie, like SH*T job or whatever.
I mean, it can live adjacent to the Horrible Bosses universe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And
you know, if we wanted to make it slightly more classy, it could just be Crappy Job.
And I like this because, like, we have sort of this cohort of folks who, like, all think they're good with each other. And then all of the metaphorical shit in their relationships come out in their attempts to avoid the black tank and sabotage each other, which I imagine there's some of that going on.
Oh, yeah, no, it's Lord of the Flies, baby. Like, mm-hmm, you know, everyone gets along until the backs are against the wall. And then it's every auto shop worker for themselves.
45 Truly. Seconds on the clock. Who's it starring? How does it end?
Cate Blanchett, Mark Strong.
No, we we already said Johnny Knoxville is the boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Knoxville's the boss.
I feel like we need a slightly younger cohort.
For sure.
100%. 100%. That was entirely a joke. This is something that I'm like, does the Ted Lasso cast want to do like something Ted unhinged. Lasso together?
All together.
Yeah.
Nice palate cleanser.
And it can be Juno Temple and the man who plays Sam Abesanya, whose name I can't remember right now, and Phil Dunster and those guys.
Phil Dunster would be perfect for this, honestly.
And that is time. Yeah. Wow.
And I maybe still like the cops in the desert better than even all of that. Like, I still think that's genius.
Oh, that's because it's actually good.
Yeah.
We can do both. We can have both.
No. We sell this one to get the budget for the first one.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how you get that Cate Blanchett money.
That's how you do it. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing, guys.
Well, we're going to roll up our sleeves for the dirty work that exists for us outside of this show. Mm-hmm. But thank you, as always, for joining us. And we can't wait to be back with you July 4th.
Happy summer, everyone.
Burr, burr, burr. Burr, burr, burr.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show possible. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jeffrey Felsher, Gemma, Rena, Robert Johnson, and Leap Flame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you really love this show, let us know by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen, and consider sharing it with someone you love.